As rural Alaska communities such as Point Lay depend on walrus to continue their way of life, rising sea levels and rising temperatures threaten the vitality of the species. These shifts have caused Pacific walrus to change their behavior. Walruses have been congregating near Point Lay since 2007, enticing visitors to fly over and take pictures of the walruses. In 2016, the tribal president of Point Lay, Leo Ferreira III, requested that outsiders not visit their community in order to prevent disturbing the walruses and causing stampedes, which can be deadly.
So we had unknown amount of aircraft coming to Point Lay, which now are not landing, but flying by and disturbing the walruses. And we noticed that during that time that the airplane traffic was causing stampedes. And I witnessed it with my own eyes, and some other residents witnessed it with their own eyes. It was not good because these walruses that we seen that were dead, they seemed pretty healthy to us. And then the only thing we could think of was the airplane that caused the stampede, and then it was kind of heartbreaking to see that these animals were just being wasted this way in this manner.
Although it is hard for scientists to tell exactly what the walrus population may look like in the future, we can take measures now to help prevent drastic disturbances to the walruses. Chad Jay with the U.S. Geological Survey says biologists use satellite radio tags to track walruses on an hourly basis to see where these large mammals go to rest and forage and to detect any variation in their distribution.
And in addition to the actual movements of individual animals, these tags also have a pressure sensor on them that gives us information about their diving. And so that's important information for us because then we can use that to determine kind of what the activity budgets of the animals are under certain circumstances, under environmental change, and whether sea ice is present or not, whether they're hauled out on land or not.
Biologists also have demographic data from 1975 to 2015. This allows them to see how the populations are being impacted over time and how environmental changes coincide with changes in population. This data is used by wildlife managers in communities like Point Lay to make decisions to help protect the marine mammals.
That community has really taken a kind of a stewardship and a lead there in seeing that, you know, planes and boat traffic and things are mitigated so that they're not, you know, disturbing the walruses. And so the Fish and Wildlife Service is working with the Eskimo Walrus Commission in these communities to try to, protect these areas that are used more often now.
Willard Neckock, a former Point Lay resident, has taken a very active role. He has been engaged in multi-village discussions about harvesting and has monitored air and ship traffic to prevent the walruses from being spooked and stampeding. He's maintained good communications with the U.S. Coast Guard, the Federal Aviation Administration, and the Alaska Department of Fish and Game to ensure that the walruses will be protected.
Young walrus are like our kids, you know. We want to make sure that we protect them, make sure that they continue our heritage or tradition here. And just like the walrus too, they have their own way of repopulating, and with, you know, planes and ships causing stampedes that reduces the numbers significantly, you know, each and every year. That way can continue to enjoy the awesome gift that we harvest each and every year from the ocean. And just great to know that, you know, we're doing our part in protecting walrus, not only for our village, but villages from, you know, the south and villages further north.
The preservation of Pacific walruses is essential in making sure Alaskans can continue to depend on harvests of sea mammals.
We asked, for them to, harvest just what you need. That's all we're asking.
Residents in coastal communities from northwestern Alaska have a long history of working together to ensure hunters are being mindful about their harvests. Brian Rockuk Jr. is a resident of Savunga, Alaska on St. Lawrence Island.
Both villages out here on the island, Gamble and Savunga, we do have committees. And then they discuss about carrying down the traditional values about having trip limits, and that we're pretty much happy about. And we're just like, I don't know how to compare it, but just that we're part of the ecosystem out here, and we're the real, seem like, we manage what we take. We can't go over what we need up until each and every individual or family member meets the need of harvesting walrus. That's it. We're done. On to the next one, like bearded seal and some seabirds or waterfowl, and then everything's on a seasonal basis. We're always out hunting or fishing every season. So leave out the walrus because we have enough for the season or two. So the walrus will always be around us, among us, the way I see it. That's my own perspective.
Both Rockuk and Nekok expressed how residents of their villages are doing their part in protecting walrus in the region. But Nekok says this complex issue requires help from larger organizations.
We will help protect the walrus. We'll maintain the population, but sometimes we need help from FAA and or U.S. Coast Guard.
It's clear that many Alaska and Russian communities rely on subsistence hunting, and organizations from both countries will have to work together to find ways to navigate changes in walrus behavior. Joel Garlick Miller, a marine mammal biologist with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, explains why this is a necessary step moving toward the future.
As sea ice disappears and walruses become more and more dependent on coastal environments, I think local conservation and management efforts are going to become increasingly important. We expect that walruses will probably occupy new haulouts. They'll pop up periodically, and they'll shift as food resources become depleted in one area. They'll be forced to move to another area. So I think our best strategy is to work collaboratively, both with our Russian colleagues and local communities, to reduce disturbances at coastal haulouts, make sure that subsistence harvest stays in sustainable levels.
Garlick Miller says organizations in Alaska and Russia are working toward ensuring that communities will be able to continue to depend on Pacific walrus in the future.
We work with the federal aviation authorities to try to prevent airplanes from overflying haulouts. We work with the U.S. Coast Guard and the oil and gas industry to try to minimize interactions with boat traffic and things. And then, there's a lot of great community-based activities that are happening as well. And some of the most promising conservation management efforts are actually happening at the community level. we have some of these large walrus haulouts are forming very close to coastal communities, and in Chukotka, Russia, for the last several decades, they've started to develop their own management efforts to keep people away from the haulouts and prevent hunting-related disturbances, and guiding tourists and teaching them about appropriate behavior around these haulout sites.
Garlic Miller says St. Lawrence Island is working under the leadership of the Eskimo Walrus Commission. They are developing tribal ordinances, self-regulation of harvest, and working to build an infrastructure.
They're going above and beyond the what's required under federal law for reporting harvest, for example. But out of concern, they're trying to ensure that the world knows that they're harvesting in a sustainable manner.
For the Fish and Wildlife Service, I'm Alaska Teen Media Institute reporter Quinn White.